Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for joining our show today. I am Wanda McKinley, the founder of We Are Survivors, which is a nonprofit organization. Our purpose is to provide a stable environment for abused and battered women and children by providing temporary shelter, counseling, and employment training. We want to help women transition from abusive situations to being self-sufficient women in society. We Are Survivors' vision is to empower women and to show them that they can and will survive and thrive in society on their own, and to uplift them and provide them a new life with a new perspective of what a normal life should be by enhancing and elevating their lives. I am a survivor of domestic violence. I was raped from the age of 7 to 18 by my biological father as well as my stepfather. My ex-husband was also abusive. He was sexually, financially, verbally, emotionally, and physically abusive. And I was with him for 12 years. God has called me to be transparent so that I may help other women and children who have walked or may be walking in my shoes. Thank you again for joining our show today. Today we will be talking to Prophetess Jerita Aaron, who is also a very powerful woman of God. And my co-host, get to introduce my co-host today. She's been on the show, I think it's maybe her second show or your third show?
Second.
Okay. Well, I get to introduce her today. You all get to hear her voice today as she goes over a lot of different possibilities for the community to help and support We Are Survivors. We're really trying to reach out of the norm and do something out of the box. And there's a lot of different ways that people can actually help us with fundraising by just doing everyday things like going shopping, using your debit card, and you're buying and getting things that you want. And in the same token, by you making a purchase, you're actually helping an abused woman and child. So Stephanie is going to share with us all the different programs that We Are Survivors are a part of. Stephanie, what you got for us?
Okay. My name is Stephanie Alford, and I want to share with you the different fundraisers that we're doing for We Are Survivors, and we hope that you can join in and support as many of them. Doesn't cost you anything. It's things that you're currently doing. It's just by you being connected or linked that you put us in a position where you're actually supporting us. One of the first ones that I want to speak on is the Kroger's Rewards. Many of you may shop at Kroger's. Well, Kroger's has a community rewards where if you link by using our number, then every time you go shop, then we will get a donation each quarter. So, you know, everybody shops for groceries at some point, whether you do it every few days, every week, every month, or, you know, or so everybody has to have groceries. So if you will connect with us, our number for We Are Survivors is 21490. Again, that's 21490. So those of you that have a Kroger's Plus card, and even if you don't have one, please go out and get one. And if you go to Kroger's.com and register it, then go to Kroger's Community Rewards.com and link it to We Are Survivors. You can either pull it up by the name We Are Survivors and click it, or you can pull it up by the number, which is 21490. If anybody has any questions about that on how to link it or anything, feel free to give me a call at 817 or text me 817-320-2571, and I'd be happy to assist you. We also participate in the Tum Thumb reward. If you go to tumthumb.com, then you can get the form that has to be filled out for you to link your card. Our number for We Are Survivors for Tum Thumb is 13451. Again, that's 13451. So anybody that, you know, has a card, or you can go get a card, again, it doesn't cost for you to get these cards, and just link to us. One of the other fundraisers we're doing is CPN. CPN is a discount card. It can be used nationally. Now, this one, there is a small fee. You pay $15 annually, but you get to shop from places and get discounts, and there are some places that have free things on there, and that you only get the deals if you're a part of the CPN network, and this can be used nationally. That one, like I said, if you text me or call me, then I'll help you get linked up with getting your card. Again, the number is 817-320-2571. We also have Compass Bank, where if you link to that one, Wanda, I'll let you share the information on that one because it may be something I may leave out, and I don't want to leave out on anything, you know, as we're getting this information out.
Yes. That also has a code, and unfortunately I don't have it with me or written down in front of me, but you all can, once again, because Stephanie will have it, is contact her at her number and or email us at wearesurvivorsfoundation@gmail.com. And with the Compass, when you shop, it's almost like when you see the commercials and they have the 1% cash back. If you get this, 2%, 3% for gas, it's the same concept. Instead of it going to another organization, what it does is it actually comes to We Are Survivors. And it goes into the accounts where We Are Survivors can actually, once again, help out an abused family, get a situation out, a person out of a situation. And I know sometimes people want to really know what We Are Survivors are doing. So at this time, I'm going to share one of our success stories. We do have many of them. But one of them that really touched my heart so that you all can understand where these funds are going and how your money is helping someone. I received a phone call from a church member. And one of her coworkers who had just started, maybe had been working at this job maybe a week or two, was wearing the same thing over and over and over. And she was an older woman. And so my coworker called me and said, Wanda, is there something that you can do? This coworker of mine, she wore a wig, and the wig was really matted. And they kept saying, instead of talking about her, what they did was they was like, let's see what we can do to help her. So they made a phone call to We Are Survivors, and immediately I got on the phones and started making some phone calls to groups of individuals and businesses that have yoked up with We Are Survivors and are here to help and assist us in any way possible. Made a phone call, and some of you all have Facebook, you've seen it, and the name of the store, the owner that I contacted was Glam Pam, which is an upscale retail store in DeSoto. I reached out to her and told her the situation, the story, and Pam was like, sure, bring her in. She can come and get anything that she wants in the store. So then I contacted my church member back, and I told her the wonderful news. I was so excited. And the woman, you know, set up a ride. Now, this happens, call came probably about Tuesday or Wednesday in the week. So we were going to meet Saturday, and the young lady, I said, well, make sure she has my number, you know, because I'm going to meet them up there so that I can meet this woman face-to-face. I got a text Saturday morning, and in my spirit, something told me that her ride fell through. So I reached back, you know, at her with my, you know, responding to her text. She informed me that she wasn't going to be able to make it. And my response to her was, yes, you will. Let me know where you're at so that I can come to you and pick you up, because I didn't want this woman to miss out on her blessings. This is what, you know, when people donate money, they donate clothes, they donate their items, they really want to know if these items are being used for the right reasons. So I picked her up, and she lived in a rundown motel, very scary area. And she's 56. She came out, and it was like it was her big day because the clothes, she had her best clothes on. And she explained to me, she put all these, what she had, these pearls And it was like she was going on a job interview. She put all of her jewelry on that she owned. She put it on. And we got in the car. We hugged, got in the car. And she just was singing gospel music and was praising God all the way there. And she cried. We cried together. And when we got to the store, she began to praise God. And we walked in, there was gospel music playing in the store. So for her, it was like confirmation. I'm in the right place, the right time. And every item that she picked up, she held it close to her heart, and she just started praying. And every time she picked up something, she danced and she prayed. And we were in that store talking to the owner for about a good hour, hour and a half. And then this is where God just really showed up and showed out. Because the question was asked to her, so how do you get to work? So the woman was explaining how early she has to get up, the bus route she has to go. Mind you, she's 56, and how far she had to walk. The motel that she stayed off of was off 20 and Camp Wisdom. She worked in Louisville, clear across town.
Wow.
And so she was telling her story. And she's also a faithful member of IBOC, Inspiring Body of Christ. And she was telling us that she was so accustomed to doing, she was sitting on the floor, Indian style, and she was telling us how she was sitting on the corner. There's a bus stop right there in front of IBOC. That's in front of, it used to be a, it's a Louisiana catfish place. And she was sitting on the bus stop. That's where she was sleeping. And one of the church members saw her on the corner. And she'll tell you the whole time that she was homeless and on the streets that she always talked about God. And someone that she was talking to at the bus station, at the bus stop, actually asked her, well, where is your God now? Because you're sitting here on this bus stop with all of your belongings in a plastic bag, and this is where you're going to sleep. And so she explained to him, my God is everywhere. And this is, I'm walking through my storm. She said, but I will never turn my back on my God. A church member happened to pass her on this corner, went to the pastor of the church. They gave her some money. That's how when I picked her up, she was in the motel because the church put her up. So as she's telling this story, I'm crying. Oh, my goodness, my eyes are swollen because I'm like, wow. And as she's sitting here telling the story, the owner of the store says, how about you come stay with me? I have this big house and all these empty rooms. She said, I have a car that nobody is driving. So not only did this woman get a wardrobe to wear to work, she got a place to stay and an automobile to drive back and forth to work.
Well, we
so that's one
good,
of, yes, that's one of our stories, you know, that we as survivors can say that we was the glue that put that together. God used us to help one of his own that never turned her back on him. No matter in the human eye, we're looking like, girl, you homeless. But he gave her a job. And she even admitted there was a time, probably less than a week before all that happened, where she actually contemplated suicide. So that she literally walked up to a bridge and looked down at the cars passing and thought, if I jump, nobody will miss me. And she said she could feel the devil pushing her. Mm-hmm. She said, but my God. And it's just amazing to see her now. She hugs me and I still cry because her story is so amazing. And because she was blessed, I kid you not, less than 24 hours later, I got another phone call from a woman. Her and her three kids had been put out and didn't have anywhere to go. Now, in my mind, this young lady over here was just blessed with a place to stay. The church had just paid up a week at this motel. Guess what? We have a motel room that's paid up for a week for this family. So it's just amazing how if we allow God to use us, what he'll do. And wow. I see our guest has joined us. Renee, are you on the line?
I am. How are you?
I'm good. How are you? Renee, we also have Stephanie, the co-host, that's on as well.
Welcome, Renee.
Thank you.
Now, we were just talking about how good our God is, and we were talking about the success stories that we as survivors have experienced in a very short period of time. It is amazing how we met and it kind of started off, and we went to, it was a breakfast, because we both couldn't stay. This is how God works. I had to go to a funeral that day, and it was somewhere you had to go. So we actually both came to show support, and I came, like, okay, because I was meeting someone there. I'm like, I'm going to come. I can't stay. I think it was there maybe 30, 45 minutes. And we were playing this game. It was really fun, but then you had to, like, separate into groups. And this older woman, we were somehow or another, it's amazing when people don't know your stance on different things, how they voice their opinions. And this older woman, we were talking about domestic violence. Can't even remember how we got on the subject. But she was so adamant that women allow these things to happen to themselves. And women have choices. Because she was a lot older. Back in the olden days, you know, women just, you know, hit them back and keep them moving. She was so adamant. Till the inside of me was like beginning to boil. Because I'm listening to this woman say that we ask for it when we stay. And so she said so much. So I finally just had to let her know, hey, I am a survivor of domestic violence, and I disagree with what you're saying. And when I said that, Renee overheard. And so then the woman tried to backpedal and try to clean it up. And like I told her, you're entitled to your opinion, but let me tell you from experience, that's not something that we accept or allow. So it was very, I don't know, do y'all hear that sound?
Yes, I do.
I'm sorry, okay, that was another call coming in on my ear.
Oh, okay. Sound like a cow. But when Renee overheard, the woman walked off. And then when Renee was like, she's like, excuse me. She said, did I hear? And that's how we intertwined. And Renee, I'm going to let you pick up from there and explain, you know, your perspective of how we met. And then tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I mean, much like you said, the conversation did go along those lines. It was something that was very intriguing to me simply because I have a heart for women that have been in those domestic situations. So when I heard it, it just kind of leaped in my spirit and was like, okay, you got to talk to her. You don't have long to stay, but you got to talk to her before you leave. And upon my approaching, you said the same thing. You're like, well, yeah, you know, I wasn't planning on being here. We kind of shared our intentions of only staying for just enough time to, again, show support. You know, but the thing for me was growing up in the household that I did, I watched my dad physically beat my mother, mentally, you know, abuse her, financially abuse her. And it was just an environment that I kind of got to a place to where I was numb to it. So, but mm-hmm. I knew then that I didn't want that kind of experience for myself. And growing older, I had my own experiences and got into a relationship with someone that began to treat me the same way that my dad treated my mother. And luckily there was a place, there was a shelter, there was a group that showed support to women in those situations. And it just made me say that that was something that I desired to do at some point in my life, to be able to offer that help and that assistance. You know, and to be able to explain to people that abuse is not always just physical. You know, it's mental, it's emotional. You know, it is financial, especially these guys that will say, oh, well, you know, you don't have to work, I'll take care of you, you know, mm-hmm. and get you in this mindset to where you're solely dependent upon them. So, you know, I'll shorten it up by saying that, you know, it was just, it did my heart a lot of good to not only realize that I too am a survivor, but to meet someone so passionate about it and willing to fight for the cause as you were.
Thank you. I do see that we have some callers. If anyone wants to say anything, feel free. Now, I didn't really introduce you. I mean, because I personally know you, but I want to give you the acknowledgement that you deserve. Prophetess Erin, for people who don't know what a prophetess is, a prophet is any human person, male or female, ordained or lay, who has received the gift of prophecy from God. A prophet is given power and authority from God to receive his word and communication. Above all, prophets are consumed with the love of God, his commandments, powerful presence, and devoted to his covenant. They are driven by the need to recall people to love of God and his covenant. And it's Jeremiah 29, often regardless of the cost. I was in class Tuesday and it's psychology. And we had to do this. It's really neat because I want to do it for the women's support group. And what she said was, the doctor said that, I want you all to take 40 minutes and draw your life, to do a road map. What occurred in your life that brought you to the point that you are right now? And there were 6 people, and I decided to go last because mine was going to be a whoa, and it really was. Because I was very descriptive and very detailed of the age I was, when that abuse happened, when the rape happened, when this happened, when that happened, and my classmates' mouths just dropped. And so the professor was like, and then I, you know, explained how we are survivors formed. And they start asking me several questions. And I explained to them that God, this is my purpose in life, and God showed me my purpose in life, and God, this is my calling. So there was a young man in class, and how did you know it was God? He said, I've heard people say that, but how did you know that God had called you to do this? And I started that with that to say, Renee, how did you know that was your calling on your life?
I can recall back to, I mean, I'm a reader. That's my drug of choice. And I recall you know, between the age of 10 and 11, reading the Bible faithfully, forward the message. But the one scripture that always stood out the most to me was, touch not mine anointed and do my prophet no harm. And anytime, I mean, I can do something just completely out of order and need to be in trouble for it, but that scripture mm-hmm. always comes to mind, and I would say it. And my mother, at the time, she would just look at me and shake her head and walk away, and I was like, okay, there's something to this thing. And then a few mm-hmm. years later, you know, I wasn't taking advantage of it, but I was like, what is going on? Why does this always come up when I'm in a situation? And by the time I was 13, I started to really, like, just feel things and hear things and see things and dream things and began to study more about the life of a prophet. Study, pray, and it was at the time when I was 16 that it had been not only revealed to me but then confirmed by three other prophets that was the call that was truly on my life, and I was like, oh, no, I studied those people. I don't want it. it's funny because I was just like, oh, no, that's it. But that's the relationship that I have with God. You know,
right?
We're very in touch with one another, so I can talk to him much like I talk to you. And you know, because a prophet is very lonely. People don't understand the things that we see, the things that God does, and a lot of that stuff is troubling to us. But then at the same time, he'll show us or tell us, and then tell us not to say anything or tell us to wait. So we've got this stuff going on the inside of us, and we're, you know, constantly in a place of struggle, you know, with our flesh and with our spirit, and then, you know, trying to find that common place for people. And, you know, it was just like, wow, why me? Why me? But I knew at the age of 10, and it was kind of something to be confirmed for me at 16.
Wow. 10, that's really early.
Very young.
Wow. Because I ask him that now. I was talking to my niece last night, and I was telling her some of the things, because when God showed me my purpose, I was totally against it. And I fought it. I didn't want to do it. I didn't want to expose who I was. I didn't want to tell, you know, we're raised that what goes on behind closed doors stay behind closed doors. So now, mm-hmm. God, you're telling me that I have to tell everybody what happened? That was the phone dropped, so I'm calling Renee back to see if she answers.
Okay.
So for me, it was something that I really, Renee, are you back?
I'm back.
Okay. So for me, I do, you know, when you hear God's voice and she dropped again, and you know that it's him without a doubt, because there's no feeling like that in the world to hear. And it's like a calming, soothing feeling when God is speaking to you. And Renee is like, she talks to him like she talks to us. And I do too, because something happens and I'm looking like, wow, and then I look up the sky like, really, God, did you just do that? And it is amazing to me. Sometimes I have to admit, it's scary to me, because to be able to experience God the way that I experience him is, I wouldn't trade it for the world. It's so exciting to me that when I do get up every morning, I'll be like, okay, God, what you got for me today? Because it's always something. What you got? And when that young man asked me that, I looked at him and I said, I used to think one of the same thing when you hear preachers, God called me to preach. I used to think in my head, how you know it was God? Because I had never experienced it. So things that we don't experience, we question. It's human nature. But when he showed me and talked to me, I promise you I'll ask that question no more because I know the answer. I know the answer. And Stephanie, you said you also talked to him?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I talk to him just like I talk to you and any other friend. You know, sometimes you just have to go there, you know, depending on what it is that he puts you through or he allows you to go through. On last week, I really had to talk with him over and over many times a day because I didn't feel I was strong enough to handle what was coming at me. However, we know he won't put more on us than we can bear. So I just asked him, I said, okay, God, since this is being put on me, I need you to show me how I can bear this. You know, show me how to be strong for everybody. Show me how to, you know, get through this and show me what I need to do your will.
Now, Renee, with your walk and with your, because it's like you have a position, you have a responsibility, a huge responsibility. When you accepted it, and grab the hold of it. I've accepted it, but I'm still trying to grab a hold. I will always be honest. I've accepted it, but oh God, I'm trying. Hey, this is a lot. What in your life changed? Because what I have noticed, my life has completely changed. What in your life has changed?
Oh, man, what didn't change? When God came in, he came in like a whirlwind. He tossed a lot of stuff to and fro, literally. You know, my relationships were the biggest things. I noticed that friends started to fall away. The people that, family members.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, the people that I clung to the most that I just really felt like I just needed them in my life are the main ones. That, you know, God just moved to the side and was like, no. And I fought and I struggled and I fought. And I was like, okay, wait a minute. I don't want a broke hip out this thing. Let him go. You know, but it was that and, you know, just my perspective on things. I mean, it's just so much. I mean, I went through a situation. I don't know if you and I even touched base on it, but I got to a place in my life where I was struggling with accepting the call because it was just so much, again, studying their lives at a young age and then coming to my own in my 20s and saying, okay, is this really it, you know, and getting ready to approach my 30s. And I'm like, well, I got kids and I got this and I got that. And, you know, God moved the kids out of the way and said, it's me. You have to serve me in order to get anything that you want out of this life. You have to put me in my rightful place. And being the person that I was going through the things, my whole life was just jacked up. I'm going to be completely honest with you. My life was jacked up. I was a people pleaser. I did whatever anybody needed or wanted me to do, you know, just to get the praise and the accolades from people. And I had to realize, you know, of course, he had to stop me dead in my tracks and say, listen, you looking for people to give to you something that only I can.
Right.
Stop looking to these people. And at that point, relationships started to go to the wayside. Jobs, I would lose jobs left and right. And I'm like, what is going on? I'm doing the absolute best at this. You know, and it was just things that he just didn't want me there. There were some places that I went to, I didn't want to be there, and he kept me there. Because there was something that I had to do for someone else for them to be able to see or something for me to learn. So, I mean, God just works in, you know, granted it's a cliche, but it's so true. God works in mysterious ways, and he does things, you know, in such a way that a lot of times it confuses the carnal mind. But I'm just getting to a place now, much like you said, and don't think I'm there because I have not arrived. I still struggle with it from time to time, you know, and it's just one of those things. I have to trust him to do whatever it is that he says he's going to do because he said that his word will not go out and return to him void. So if he's truly called me to be a prophet and be an ambassador and a mouthpiece for him, then I'm going to have to rely on him truly to do whatever it is that needs to be done, because it is not me.
Right. And struggle, and I've had people tell me that you are chosen. And I'm like, chosen? What does that mean? Because I always say, like I said last night, I'm like, sometimes I just want to go back to the normal me.
It's not possible, this.
They're like, well, what do you mean? I said, it's the responsibility of God's children. Every time I open my mouth or I speak in an engagement, even on this show, I pray, okay, God, whatever I need to say, please put the words in my mouth. Remove self, because if we do self, it's not coming out right. I just need you to help me. And when I talk to someone, when my phone rings, when I'm out in public, even now, I was with some friends, and they were like, come on, Wanda, let's do this. I can't do that. Why you can't go? I shouldn't be in that situation, because something may not be. It's like my whole life has changed. And I'm like, God, but I like doing that over there. And that's why my friend's like, well, what do you mean you can't go? Well, mother, what do you mean you can't do? I said, God has me in a different place, and I don't feel comfortable doing that.
Yeah.
And prime example, the way he's working with me and my daughter had a disagreement. And the old Wanda, honey, I'm screaming, I'm cussing, I'm in her face. You're going to hear me literally roar, because I am your mother, and what I say goes. But now I'm calm, and well, baby, let's talk this through. Let's have an understanding. Let's agree to disagree. She don't know how to accept that. She's like, wait a minute, where's my mama? I'm like, I'm not the same Wanda, and people around me are like, wait a minute, what's happening to you? And all I can say is God, because trust me, I'm not doing it by choice. It's him changing me, and it's like it's a wonderful, exciting feeling, but it's scary. It's like, oh, why me, God? Why me? All these people in the world, why me? There's a lot of women that have gone through abuse, a lot. So why you pick? And I ask them almost daily, why you pick me to tell my business? But everyone has a purpose. Some people learn it before they leave the earth, some don't. And people tell me, you need to find it a blessing that you know why you are here. So I look at them and say, honey, that's easier said than done. But it's a wonderful walk. It is. And I say I want my old life back, but I don't think I would know how to go back to that. It's so different. It's relaxing. Even when a speed bump comes in your path, you handle it differently. You feel differently. When something that you don't, unexpected expenses, honey, like a car, you handle it differently. Because you're like, okay, God, I'm supposed to learn something from this. Versus fussing and cussing, because I don't have time for this. But now I look at things like, okay, God, what am I supposed to learn out of this? Who am I getting ready to meet? What's getting ready to happen? Because now for me, everything, there's a meaning behind everything. There's a lesson. I'm supposed to learn something. So I be trying to pay attention all the time. And then I get excited when I figure it out. Oh, I get excited. I heard you. Yes. I got it. So it's a huge responsibility. And now I hear pastors that, you know, be like, oh, yeah, I just don't understand. Honey, I do. But it's a reward to be able. My niece told me last night, she says, Aunt Wanda, I envy you. She said, because you have a relationship with God that I want. I looked at her, I said, girl, are you sure? I said, because he changes your life. It's not the same. But she's like, for you to be able to talk to him, and he talks back, and you hear him. Because that's how I said, he talks to you, touch him, but I don't hear him, ain't one, I don't hear him. I said, pray about it. But she's like,
some people ignore it.
Yeah,
some
I don't know what it is.
Or they don't recognize it. They don't recognize
mm-hmm.
it.
And that's why I always pray to hear God's voice. And when I hear it, it's like, wow. So, Renee, when you hear it, walk us through your process when he's like, okay, God, I hear you, because I know I'm like getting excited, but I want to hear from you about your experiences and what he's shown you.
Now, see, at one point I was much like your niece. It was like I'm talking to him, you know, and things are happening, but I don't feel like I hear him. And then I had to realize that God speaks to me in several different ways. He does show me things in my dream. There are times when I just feel something in the pit of my stomach, and I don't know why I feel it, but I just feel it, and it's so strong that I know it's nobody but him, because he's the only one that can touch me that deep. But when I hear his voice clearly, oh my, it just stops me dead in my tracks, and it's like, okay, you got all of my attention. But this is the funny thing. I'm so greedy. 9 times out of 10 when he's talking to me, I'm in the kitchen. So I'm usually going to the fridge or standing at the stove, and it's just like, really, God, why we got to have this conversation right now? Really? For real. But he knows me. He knows I'm going to always find a way to get something to eat. So he's like, you know, I can get her right there because I know she's faithful in this area. But it's, you know, it's a beautiful thing. It's one of the most calming things. I could be very upset, but just to hear his voice, just that peace that people talk about, it just comes over you, and it's just like, okay, you know what? I can slow my day down. Me and my daddy talking right now, you know.
Right.
So it's something that I wouldn't give up for the world.
And Stephanie, what about yourself?
Man. When I first felt it, you know, like I said, I tried to ignore things at first. But, you know, when God speaks to you, there comes a point in time when you cannot ignore him. And so, you know, I finally accept what I was hearing. And sometimes it kind of scares me because I'm like, okay, really? I need to do this. You know, he will take you out of your comfort zone.
Yes.
I'm very much out of my comfort zone right now. You know, and it just keeps coming at me. So he studies pulling me. You know, I'm going in different directions because he's pulling me, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But as long as I know I'm doing what he would have me to do, I'm good. I'm good with that. I've accepted that now. I fought it for a while. But
I'm still trying to fight it. I'm like, oh, my gosh, Lord. And it's so amazing to me. And I'm going to really try to shorten this story, but this is 2012. Is November 2012. I had a nightmare. I've always, since I was a little girl, my mom's like, my mom always tell me I scare her to death. So when I call her, because I have premonitions, and when I call her, she begins to pray, especially if it's one of those ones where I'm like, I have called her screaming and crying and like, oh, my God, Mom. And she just begins to pray. And I call my aunt that's in Omaha, Nebraska, prayer warrior, honey, and she begins to pray. In November of 2013, the devil himself paid me a visit. And I can still feel the my soul trembling because I was so afraid. Now, people that know me, I was born on Halloween, so I've always been intrigued with the horror movies, the scary movies, the crazy, outlandish movies. It's always intrigued me. And after that night, I can't even stand to hear an advertisement commercial on TV of some. It just does not mesh with my spirit. anymore. And people that know me is like, oh, my God. But when the devil came to visit me, showed himself to me face to face, and told me about my past, told me about my present, he got to my future, and he started giggling. This was in 2012. He said, I know what's going to happen. He said, I know you want to know too. He said, I know what your heart desires. And he just laughed. He said, I can give you all of that and more if you just sign your soul over to me. I woke up screaming, my God. That just, and literally like was, literally I said, hell no, you will not have me. I prayed to God. It took a while for me to realize, God, you must have something in store for me. If the devil himself paid me a visit, little old me. And I began to see dark shadows outside of my home. When I turned him down for like a couple of weeks, and I kept saying, everybody pray for me because maybe I'm under attack. They never came in my home. But when I stepped outside my house, oh my, they were so visible that one night I thought I hit a man, put my car in park, got out of my car. There was no one around but me in my running car. I dropped to my knees. I said, God, please, please hear me. November 2013 is when God showed me my purpose in life. Now, I fought that for a year because I was like, I know you had something for me, but I didn't think it was going to be this. So I know when I tell people and they ask me, it's like, how do you know? And I tell them what I've experienced and their eyes get big and they look at me. I've even had someone say, so the devil is real? I said, isn't God real? And then I look at them confused. Like, you don't know? Wow. And it's amazing when you talk to people and when you tell them something that is out of the norm that you've experienced, and they look at you like you've lost your mind. But if you know the God that I serve, all things are possible. And it's just, for me, I do smile because I'm smiling now, because I do feel special that he has chosen to work through me, because I will always give him the glory, because God's already shown me if I don't acknowledge him, that he's going to remind me who he is, and it's not always a good thing to be reminded of who he is. Because I know when I was fighting this for a year, I had a lot of people tell me, because God has brought me to my knees. God has stripped me of everything I owned. And so I was told, okay, Wanda, you've already experienced what God can do by you not being obedient. So how long are you going to fight this? Until we bring you back down to your knees? So that's a lot of things. You know, when you're that special individual, it comes with a lot of responsibility. And I do have some callers on the line. I mean, if you have any comments, please feel free to say something. Because you can. We're listening to your comments, too, if you have any. Now, Miss Renee, if a woman that's listening and she actually feels that there's no way out, I mean, what can you tell her that can help her make it through her storm?
Okay, she feels that there's a what?
Now, I'm saying for the women that are out there listening, for a woman that feels that she's, you know, there's no way out, and she's, you know, doesn't know what to do, she feels like there's nowhere to turn, like, what can you do to motivate her, to get her to actually see that there, that she does have options?
There is always a way out. Just like there is a way in, there is a way out. You know, the number one thing is that we have to validate ourselves. We can't rely on other people to tell us that we're important. We have to trust that our life is worth something as well. You know, mm-hmm. the thing that's mm-hmm. the big right now is the hashtag Black Lives Matter. Well, so does yours. You know,
right.
pray about it. You know, seek God. And if you don't have a relationship with God, get one. You know, trust and believe that there is a purpose for your life just like it is for ours. You know, and find somebody that will listen to you. And, mm-hmm. and don't be afraid to go. You know, there's no need to have to take everything that you have because that's stuff. You know, stuff accumulates, you're not attached to it, but...
It's like we're losing her again.
So,
you still there?
I'm here.
Okay, so I hear her fading out for a minute. Now, Miss Stephanie, I'm going to ask you the same question. What would you tell a woman that feels like she's trapped in the middle of a storm?
That she has to get out. It's not an option. She has to get out. It is a huge difference once you get out. I stayed in it for many years, but I finally got out. I finally realized that my life was more important. People that are here to support you, whether you contact us to support you or whether you have others that may be willing to support you, there is a way out. Some of you may be scared because you feel that the person may still come, you know, be able to find you. There are places that can keep you from being found. So
yes.
don't let anything be an excuse to keep you in that. God does not want you in that situation. So whether you reach out to us or whether you reach out to somebody else, just reach out. Take a step. And after you take one step, take another step and another step. And then one day you can look behind you and see the progress and see the mm-hmm. difference that it has made.
Wow. For me, I know for me, and I know women leave for different reasons. And sometimes leaving for yourself is not good enough. So what I say is look at your children, look at your child, look into his or her eyes. And what you don't want to happen is that child will repeat what they see. And I know for me, it took for me to think, I don't want my daughter to wind up with a man that's going to treat her this way. And in her mind, she's going to think it's okay because my daddy did it to my mother. That was my motivation, because in my head, I thought I could handle him. I'm going to protect my child. So women, everyone's situation is different. Everyone's motivation is different. The results, we want to be the same, and that's your safety for you and your children. No matter what path, what corner you turn, we all want to wind up at the same destination, which is peace of mind, because I promise you there's nothing like a peace of mind. Some women hold on to material things. I promise you, God can grant those things to you and even more. Because the house that I walked away from, the house that I'm in now, is three times the size of the one I was in. And the car that I was driving, the one I'm driving now, is a lot, of course, newer than the one I was in. So I know we hold on to sometimes tangible things. When you've got to realize your life, your safety, your mind, your soul, it's much more important. Now, we are survivors. Mm-hmm. We have an upcoming event, August 22nd. It's our first annual benefit luncheon, and it's Hear Me Roar Against Domestic Violence. And you can purchase tickets on our website. And once you go to our website, you go to events, and there's a huge, nice little flyer. When you click on that flyer, it leads you into being able to purchase your tickets. Prophet Erin is actually on the program. I'm looking forward to her. She's going to actually open it up. And women, we work together and support each other. And in saying that, we are survivors because we are being very obedient to God. And we're networking with people September 8th, we'll be at a luncheon for Crime Victims Council of Dallas County to get our name out there, to let people know that we're here. We're here to help individuals. We're here to support individuals. September 12th, we've been invited to speak at the Community Domestic Violence Forum for the City of Cedar Hill. September 14th, we're involved in the first annual golf tournament for young children. We have October 3rd is coming up. We have an annual sister-to-sister walk to support breast cancer awareness. So even with our goal and our mission is domestic violence, we're still helping other women in different aspects of life, and we're teaming up to do breast cancer awareness. October 17th, we'll be in Louisiana for an Evening with Stars Domestic Violence Awareness Dinner. October 15th, we'll be at Prayer Mountain, which is a 2015, another breast cancer awareness praise brunch. October 14th, the sponsor Granny's Place, we are having a women's conference. We'll be speaking there as well. October 31st, we have our first annual Talk About It Domestic Violence Awareness Conference. That's something that, you know, I'm really excited about because we don't talk about it. Right now, domestic violence is in the media only because of NFL players. It's not because women are standing up saying, hey, hear me. Even though we've been doing it all along, it's fell on deaf ears. But now that you have stars and people in the limelight getting caught up, now all of a sudden it's important. And it's always been important. November 25th to the 27th, we are survivors who will actually be in Finland. We were invited to speak at an international women's conference. So as you can hear, we are survivors. We're getting into the community. We are letting our voices being heard. We love for people to come out and support. Anything that we have, any forums, any outlets, anyone that's listening, you are welcome to express your feelings, your experiences, your survival stories, because we all have them. And it may have to be regarding domestic violence. It could be something that you survived, period. It doesn't have to be just something that's violent. In my mind, we're all survivors. Every day to day, we've survived. It's almost 7 o'clock, and we have survived the day. Work, coworkers, boss, traffic, honey, we've survived it. So I want people to know that, yes, we are survivors. Is the primary reason why we were formed was for abused and battered women, but we all have a survival story. Now, is there anything that you want to say, Renee, before we close out?
No, other than I thank you so much for having me on. I appreciate you guys. Keep me in your prayers, and I'll do the same.
Thank you, and we will. And Ms. Stephanie, do you have anything you want to say?
No. Well, I guess I can reiterate on what we started out with as far as our fundraisers. You know, those of you that are able to support us with our Kroger Community Rewards program, doesn't cost you anything different, you know, to link up, and as you shop, then a donation comes to us. The same thing with our Tum Thumb. Well, our Kroger Rewards, our code is 21490. That's for We Are Survivors. Tum Thumb, our code is 13451. We also have the CPN discount card that we are participating in, and then also with the Compass Bank. If you have an account with Compass, or if you open up an account with Compass, then you can link to us, and we will get a donation from them. If you have any questions on any of those, feel free to text me or call me at 817-320-2571, and let me be the first to thank you for any support that you give We Are Survivors.
Thank you, Stephanie. And I just reiterate, feel free to contact me or her with any questions or comments. And like I said, survival stories. The direct number for the nonprofit organization is 214-454-2933. Our email address is wearesurvivorsfoundation@gmail.com. Our website is www.wearesurvivorsfoundation.org. I want to thank God for you listening, and I pray that today on the show something was said that touches your heart. We're here to help, to support, to guide, to listen, and to lift you up. In the name of Jesus, we worship your holy name. God bless you.
God bless you all.